So we talked a lot about atrial fibrillation as an example of how medical statistics can be manipulated, how the side effects and the downside of treatment is minimized, and how we often use surrogate markers instead of real clinical endpoints. I mean, just knowing the number of strokes is useless when the vast majority of strokes are not clinically significant. And like I said, we'll see this across the medical spectrum, that this is what's going on. Basically, our medical system is saying, listen to us, we know what we're talking about, we're going to scare you to death, and we're not going to tell you the bad sides of what you're doing, but if you get a stroke and you're not on a blood thinner, shame on you. We told you so. If you bleed to death on a blood thinner, well, at least you gave it your best shot, right? You probably would have died of a stroke anyway before that. It's this kind of stuff that really, coming from doctors, is confusing. And when we talk in our next segment about why patients kind of believe all this, and there are what we talked about, cognitive reasons, ways to fool people, the same kind of tricks that advertisers use to convince you to buy stuff you don't need. Well, when we talk about that, we'll also talk about some things that doctors do that they clearly do for their pocketbook. I mean, we're going to talk about a lot about cardiology things next talk, which mostly are like stress tests and catheterizations and stents and stuff like that. When you look at the science behind most of that stuff, very few people should be getting any of those procedures. And yet they are a multi, you know, 100, 200, 300 billion dollar industry for cardiologists, who are the highest paid profession in the country, for reasons of convincing people to do things they don't need and convincing insurance companies to pay for those things at exorbitant fees, which we'll also discuss why that happens. Because it's crucial to know, why would an insurance company not say to these cardiologists, hey, why are you doing all these things? You're just upping the price of insurance, and we don't need that. Well, the medical director of the largest insurance company in the country told me, and I think I mentioned this already, that he doesn't mess with the cardiology lobby, that they are pretty strong. And what he didn't tell me, and which I know from reading, is it actually is in his benefit to pay for all these expensive tests. Believe it or not, the executives in insurance companies make the most money when they pay doctors and hospitals a lot of money. And then they convince the public that they're doing a good thing by not restricting care. But that's for another talk. When we get to doctors talking about using blood thinners and pulling the wool over their patients' eyes and using faulty statistics and exaggerating the benefits and minimizing the downsides, doctors aren't getting paid to do that. I mean, that's not a money thing. No cardiologist who fires his or her patient because they refuse to take blood thinners, and by the way, three of my patients were fired by cardiologists for that reason, none of them are getting money because their patients are on these blood thinners. Now, you could argue that the pharmaceutical industry has been really good at sucking in doctors and paying them a lot of money to give talks and other things. I personally know several academic doctors who make the vast majority of their salaries giving talks for drug companies, and they think it's perfectly fine because they've convinced themselves that the talks they're giving are really medically important. And the drug company part of it is kind of extraneous, gives them a vehicle to do it, and also gives them a huge part of their salary, but they say that's not important. Okay, I get that. But most doctors aren't getting paid by drug companies, and most doctors are not getting paid to prescribe these medicines. So why the heck are they doing it? I mean, what's wrong with a doctor sitting down with a patient and saying, look, Joe, here's the benefit of you going on a blood thinner. About 6 people in 1,000 avoid a stroke that they know about. Here's the risk. About 6 in 1,000 will die from the blood thinner or bleed into their brain, and about 40 in 1,000 will end up in the hospital with a major bleed. Then comes the next part of the conversation. Well, Joe, you're someone who has a lot of risk factors for strokes. You're not someone who bleeds much. You don't really fall much. So maybe you're willing to take this drug if it's going to potentially have a 0.5% chance of having you avoid a terrible outcome. Or it might be like this. Joe, you know, you're pretty healthy, but you fall all the time. You know, you get in car wrecks all the time. You're a terrible driver, Joe. It's amazing they're still letting you drive. But if you're on these blood thinners, and you fall or get in a car accident, you could die. And really, you have to decide if that risk is worth the very small benefit of the drug. Anyway, that's kind of conversation you'd expect to have. Back when our medical system was kind of in its infancy in 1917 or 1911, that's when the Flexner Report came out. And our book, myself and Alan Roth are writing, are all about how that's the road that kind of split which direction we were going. The Flexner Road is all about measuring and fixing things, defining things as diseases, scaring people about them, and then treating them. It's kind of like a mentality. The Osler view, which is the way we didn't take it, is more the conversation I just had. There's nuance in everything. There's no right answer. For every drug, there's a side effect. You know, as Osler, who said, if you have a problem and you take a medicine for it, now you have two problems. And that's got to be the way we look at medicine, right? Right now, you cannot get a drug. The pharmaceutical companies can't sell drugs unless doctors write a prescription for them. So when we're sitting here berating the pharmaceutical industry for their horrible behavior in pushing horrible drugs on the market that cause more harm than good, okay, I get it. They're big, evil corporate entities. But doctors are the ones who are supposed to be protecting the patients from these drugs. So why in God's name are they putting, to the tune of $6 billion, people on these blood thinners and not telling them the actual risks and benefits? I mean, the bottom line is doctors are the best salesmen the pharmaceutical agents have. Pharmaceutical agents don't really need to advertise. They got doctors who are willing to do anything. So, I mean, I think it comes down to a couple things. Number one, doctors like to be precise. Again, this Flexner way of doing things. They like to have a very simple measurement fix mentality. Okay, measurement. We've done a test and you're in atrial fibrillation. Fix. You need to be on a blood thinner. It's very simple. When doctors are picked how to get into medical school, they have multiple choice tests. There's always one right answer. There's no nuance on a multiple choice test. As they're being trained, as they're being assessed throughout their careers, even their payment are based on multiple choice, one right answer responses. So doctors are grilled right away that there's always one right answer. I mean, again, we could look at COVID and see that in spades, that doctors are saying you have to wear a mask and not looking at the data and not looking at who might benefit or whether there are other measures that might be more effective, you know, blah, blah, blah. But with atrial fibrillation, they also have this thing we told you called a calculator. And they believe that with this calculator, they can give patients a precise answer. Doctors love giving precise answers. Now, who the heck gives them this calculator? Who inputs the data into the calculator? Guess what? These calculators come free because they're made by the pharmaceutical companies. So pharmaceutical companies have a huge role. If it's not the companies themselves, it's doctors in academia who are paid to do research by these companies. And they, of course, pick the studies that are most supportive of drug use and least likely to show side effects by picking the right patient population, the ones who don't fall or bleed, right? The ones most likely to get a stroke, and then counting all strokes instead of symptomatic strokes. This is how they come up with their numbers. And most calculators for atrial fibrillation or for osteoporosis or for cholesterol medicines and heart disease, most of them don't really talk about the downsides. The calculators only tell you your risk of not taking the medicine. They don't tell you the risk of taking the medicine. So there are several studies done that show that doctors, and we mentioned this, doctors understand about 10% of the risks and benefits of the drugs that they prescribe. That's about it. The other 90% they make up. But because they're trained this way, they're trained to give you a one right answer, simple, no nuance. And as we'll see, patients love that. They love the doctor, expert, the guy in the white coat, the woman in the wet coat, to tell them exactly what to do, to be sure of it, and to say it this way. If you don't take this drug, you're going to get a stroke. Well, what if I do take it? Are there side effects? You got to take this drug. Okay, look at the calculator. This is what I'm showing you. So again, why do doctors do it? Yes, there is a financial reward in many things doctors do, as we'll get to in the next talk. But most of the reason they do it is faulty thinking. One right answer, multiple choice thinking, the idea that you can measure something and fix it, that you don't look at the downsides, and that it is much better to do something than to not do something. Doctors love doing things. They love fixing everything that's wrong. Wherever there's something wrong, you gotta fix it. That's just doctor mentality. You know, they do a lot of tests on you and then say, well, we got to do this. I send you to this specialist, that specialist. You know, it just never ends. So again, I gave you the numbers in atrial fibrillation. Most people would say, God, you know, the risk of stroke isn't that high and the benefits of the treatment are not that great and the risks of the treatment are pretty bad. You know, we got to think about it. That's called nuance. People, doctors don't like nuance. You'll see that when you go to the doctor, and they don't like giving you accurate information. So that's doctors. Now we're going to look at patients in the next talk and why they so willingly accept this stuff. And a lot of it comes down to these cognitive biases, which are so fascinating. And we'll talk about that next time. And we'll also talk about some of the things that doctors do to make money. And they kind of blind themselves to, you know, the downsides, because we're good at that.